This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It is time on Grant and Danny to get some trusted insight from a trusted insider. You know what that means? Austin Eckler is on the guest hotline presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. And the insight from our insider, Austin Eckler, comes your way today in the wake of win number 9 for the Commanders, their best 14-game start since 1992. Austin, welcome back onto the show. Thanks for joining us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me back on.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Our weekly question, always got to check in here in this regard. How you feeling? What's the latest with Austin Eckler health-wise?
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm just continuing to get back through the process. Like I mentioned, I think last week, really feeling like myself, so more of that this week as well. Really getting some good strength back. Had some just nerve damage and bruised nerves on my neck that was kind of affected my arm a little bit. So that's coming back. Nerves take a long time. They're kind of annoying to heal up, but making steady progress. So I appreciate y'all asking.
Ooh, that's scary sounding. I mean, is that something you knew about before? I'd imagine that's not related to the concussion,
so,
right?
Yeah. So what can happen is I actually had this happen in my second year where I did have a concussion. It was hitting from the other side and damaged some of the nerves on my neck on the left side. And actually, my left arm lost a lot of strength. So there's a lot of nerves that come from your spine right there. It's like the C5 or whatever that one bone in your neck is, and it goes right to your arm. And so I remember I couldn't even curl like a 25-pound dumbbell at the time. And so it took a little bit to get back. But, yeah, it's not ideal. But, again, one of those things that you can make your way through, and it sounds probably worse than it is. And you can, you know, get back to it. And so left arm is back to full strength now. Now it's the right arm I'm dealing with.
Good for you. Austin Eckler is with us on Grant and Danny. You know, we heard this from afar when Tua was coming back from his concussion issues, and so many of the questions were uncomfortable, and people were telling him what he should do and what he shouldn't do. I'm just wondering from your perspective, like what kind of, I didn't even know you had a previous concussion early in your career, but you know, what kind of things are you, like, do you talk about it? Who's in your short circle of things like, hey, do I want to play again this season? Do I just sit this out? I mean, when you start to consider, like, do I wear a guardian cap or one of these neck roll things? Like, what are those things that players deal with when you start to have a season like this where you've dealt with two pretty serious concussions?
Yeah, I think one of the main things is really understanding kind of your situation. You know, all the situations are different. What I mean by that is get all the information that you can from imaging, from professionals, You'll see guys, even like myself, like we went and got, you know, a CT scan. I'm looking at my brain. I'm looking at my spine. I'm looking at my spinal cord. And I'm really gathering all of the information that I can so that I know where I'm at. What am I dealing with? What's the diagnostic on what I'm having to go through? And then using that information and saying, okay, what is now from here the recovery? Am I recovered? And then now, if I am recovered, okay, what's it look like going forward? And for the concussions, they all have a kind of a life of their own. But really what you want to know is, okay, is there any structural damage? You know, am I more susceptible to getting another one because of some type of condition or some type of structural damage? And then am I taking longer to recover from these concussions? And so those are the kind of the questions that you need to really look into and get answers to. And you can kind of diagnose, you know, over time as you, if you have multiple anyway.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. So Austin, like with a hamstring or quad or something like that, which, you know, everybody's had banged up at some point. I remember I pulled my hamstring and it was a long time ago. And it was one of those things where it's like, even when I was, the trainer was like, no, you're fine. I still didn't trust it for another week. You know what I mean? Like I'd go, oh, I can't really go full speed yet because I was so used to taking it easy, right? And my full speed, probably not as good as your full speed if we're just comparing. But anyway, like, you know, it took me a little bit longer. What's that kind of milestone like when it comes to concussions? I mean, I know you were touching on that, but would be curious, like with a muscle or otherwise, you kind of know because it fires when you say fire. What's that sort of like that milestone for concussions?
Yeah, it's, again, has a life of its own, but what's common across all of the concussions is the symptoms. Symptoms, regardless of what those look like, you know, whether mm-hmm. that's, you know, some common ones are, yeah, you feel like you're in a fog, you have sensitivity to light, you have a little bit of blurred vision, headaches, trouble sleeping, things like that. So really, how do we measure it? Well, we got to get rid of all those symptoms. You can have no symptoms. So basically, if it's a hamstring, you could probably come back if it's like 90%. Like, you can still run on it. You'll be fine. You'll be protected. The concussions, it's got to be 100%. You need to hit your baseline scores mm-hmm. with memory tests that we have, with different eye tests and things like that. So that's how those are treated with the NFL anyway, is making sure that there's zero symptoms and you're back to where you were before you had the concussion.
Austin Eckler on the mend, joining us here on Grant and Danny. All right, let's talk about the Saints game on Sunday. I want to get your expertise on the running game. So there was a 20-yard run from Brian Robinson, which was actually a pass. It was just backwards, so they called it a run. But that's nice as a running back to get credit for that as a carry. But, you know, same deal, right? So you take that away, though. It was 20 rushing attempts for 45 yards. This was the best any team had done against him and against this running game. You added McNichols and Rodriguez. It was like 23 for basically 50 yards. And this was the worst run defense statistically in the NFL, which is just a hilarious, like, only in the NFL thing does that happen. But what did they do so well that you saw, and why couldn't Washington run the ball a little better?
Yeah, you know, it's not fun to say, but I think we just got to make sure that we're in a better position to come out and come off the ball. I think it's one of those things that we look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know, we got to be able to perform better than this. Just looking at some of the different drives and things where we're stalling out or not having a sense of urgency. So things that we can control, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's definitely unacceptable for us, knowing the type of running game that we can have and how we rely on that. I even talked about it in an interview in the past where it's like, hey, what's going to take for us to continue to kind of win out in this month? Well, it's our running game. We got to make sure that we're getting ourselves in a position where we can run the ball and control the clock, because that's when we've had a lot of success. So a lot of that comes down to making sure we're doing in practice. You heard about our practice, you know, before our last game against, you know, Tennessee and how that came out. So it's getting back to his. So it seems like, okay, why didn't you do that again? Well, the NFL is kind of a fluid thing. You come in and out of it flows. You try to hold on to as much as you can, and hopefully you have a good team culture and chemistry to do that, which I love what we have built in over here. So I know for us, we have what we call the truth or tell the truth Mondays. And so that's definitely something that was addressed in our offensive room, was, hey, like, this has to be a category where we have to get better, not just in the running game, but it showed up in the passing game and things like that too, in our urgency, just to get up and line up on the ball and play how we want to play. So one of those look in the mirror moments, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's a constructive learning thing.
So Austin Tyler Biadasz couldn't go because of an illness. And listen, I'm just watching the games, you know, but having fun. We were down there in person, and you could sort of tell the difference. But I'd love for you to go into how critical he is and kind of that center position in terms of everything from calls to being able to block and do so much. It seems like that's one of those integral positions that nobody really thinks about until, you know, you have a change like that.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, the offensive line doesn't really get a lot of credit unless, you know, things are going wrong, you know.
Right.
It seems like one of those where it's either the, only the extremes, you know, whether they're really crushing it or things are going wrong. Otherwise, it's just kind of it's just the whole line. But as you can see, you know, there's different parts to the offensive line. And when you lose a guy right before the game, you're not kind of anticipating that. And the guy that's taken probably most of the reps that week and made all the calls and pretty much led the offense from that position and lose that, it's definitely going to have an effect. I thought Dieter, you know, went in there and did his thing. He's going to prepare with as many reps as he can, but it's definitely limited compared to what our starter was getting, Tyler, there. So, you know, no shot at Dieter, but it's just, hey, you was not expected. Like, hey, you learned on Sunday morning or Saturday, whenever it was, mm-hmm. the report said that, hey, you're going now. It's like, oh, okay, like, let me get myself mentally prepared to go start this game. It's definitely a different type of, you know, just mental feeling that you have knowing that you're going to start as opposed to, okay, I'm going in as a backup. So, just kind of a wake-up call for us, and it, you know, we still got the job done, which matters as well, all that matters. So I'm proud of how Dieter was able to step up and at least help us get the win.
Austin, you were playing your entire career cross-conference, cross-country. I wonder what your thoughts on Terry McLaurin were and what you knew about how good he was before you got here and then seeing him work every day and watching the season he's having, you know, what your thoughts are now.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know much about Terry until – I think that 2 years ago, we actually played a golf tournament together. And that's when I first got to meet him. And actually, we played against them 2 years ago as well, so that same year. And he was someone that we highlighted on Washington at the time. This is one of their playmakers. And so that was kind of like my first time ever playing Washington and really getting an introduction to them in my career. And so being here, like knowing Terry and knowing how just humble he is and how much of a great person he is, like every time he scores or has a big play, I'm like, man, that it couldn't happen to a better person. And you can kind of see that. I've really seen the community and how they've really gravitated towards Terry. Like anywhere Terry's at, it's the Terry chant, Terry, Terry. And so he just shows, you know, how much he is respected, and rightfully so. If you get to know him and just, you know, kind of his roots and who he is as a person, really just cares for the best for, you know, the people around him. So pretty cool to see him having a career year, especially with Jaden coming in as a rookie too. I know that's going to be a match that we're going to, you know, be looking forward to watching for a long time.
Yeah, it's, you could hear those Terry chants down there in New Orleans. So we were at the stadium, and it was a whole bunch of Washington yep. fans. It was really cool. Speaking of that, I just want to get your insight on something. There was a particular play. It's actually a pass intended for Terry McLaurin. He had to hold up a little bit and allow the defender to come, you know, basically close the ground, make contact with him. Clearly should have been a pass interference penalty that wasn't called. Adam Peters is on the sideline, dressed to the nines, handsome as all get out, right? Perfectly manicured hair, beard, got the suit jacket on with the slacks and everything. He's sprinting down the sideline to give that line judge a piece of his mind and kind of the what for right there. And it's like everybody's at all times competitive in this group. I'd love for you to speak to that a little bit, right? Where I'm not used to seeing that, the GM leaving his suite to come down there and yell at the official. Your thoughts?
Hey, yeah, I think you said it best. You know, we have a competitive group. You know, we got a going to make sure that, you know, we keep it within the confines of where we need to be.
Sure.
But I love to see Adam out there, you know, pleading his case for what he thought was supposed to be a call. You know, it's great. You know, we are definitely all in on this group, on this brotherhood of what we built over here. And that starts from really management and then spreads into the team as well. So as you can see, hey, we got one of the guys up in the, you know, the box that comes down to the field and then also is, you know, not afraid to show some emotion on the sideline and show that, yeah, he actually cares about what's going on around here, you know, good or bad. So love to see that energy and want to see more of that from him.
Austin, you guys have the Eagles now coming up this weekend with a golden opportunity to punch a playoff ticket, perhaps. You were huge in the game against the Eagles on the road that ended up getting off the rails in the fourth quarter. But for three quarters, you played them neck and neck. You guys had 90 yards on eight catches. Curious, know, how much things change without you, do you think? And what did you learn from that first Eagles game that maybe you guys can apply this time at home?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the first time we didn't really convert on third downs very well. You know, put ourselves in some unmanageable situations, just getting backed up and things like that. And so I think that's one of the things that we continue to learn is, hey, let's stay on task, let's stay on track, put ourselves in manageable third downs, move the sticks. And so that's one of the things that we're looking to do better, obviously, this time around. And yeah, we know it's going to be a dogfight. It always is in conference games, and so this is going to be no different. And especially, you know, they've gotten pretty hot since they played us as well, been on that streak that they've been on. So looking forward to getting in there and getting our best shot and showing them, hey, like, we're a different team than we were, you know, what, 3-4 weeks ago.
Our listener question for Austin Eckler is brought to you by IT Cadre. You guys can always send in questions for Austin, and we normally end the interview with one or two of them. Jamie wants to know about when you think you could be able to return. It's been a few weeks since we talked about this. You said you weren't really sure, you know, if you'd be able to get back before the end of the year or not. Do you have any update on that?
Well, the first game I will actually be eligible for is the last game versus the Cowboys again. So, hey, if I return, it'll be the quickest I can return is back against the team that I got knocked out against. But again, as I mentioned,
about
you know,
that. That's right. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, revenge game for me if I back that. But as I mentioned, it really comes down to just symptoms, making sure everything's gone. I told you guys, you know, just making sure I get my strength back in my arm and everything's kind of looking good there. So that's where I'm at right now. Continue to just really get this last, I don't know, 10% back, which can be annoying at times. But, you know, no telling, because I'm not going to rush this. This is not something you rush. You're talking about your spine. You're talking about your brain. So you make sure you're 100% back. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do.
So, Austin, earlier you mentioned, and this is just kind of funny, just your eye line as a pro athlete is very different than us peons with cellulite and you know, gross bodies. But you said, you're like, I couldn't even curl a 25-pound weight, like as if like the way I would say it about like a half pound, like a teacup. What do you actually curl? What do you, like, if you're banging out like legit reps, you're doing 10 reps, what would you curl?
10 reps, I would probably use the 50s or 55.
So
I
was just doing. Are you kidding me?
We're just doing 10 reps on a hammer curl. So, yeah, right now we got some ways to go.
What if you're pushing it a little bit?
My left arm can do it.
Like, you're fully healthy and you're pushing the curls a little bit. You're trying to sweat.
Yeah, that's what I'd say I'd be at. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'd be at. So I usually start with the 40s because I usually end my workouts with lower body with arms. And so I'll go over, yeah. And do kind of like a, not like a full palm out, but kind of like palm, just like straight forward. Mm-hmm. Start with the 40s, go to the 45s, 50s, and then just kind of work your way up until failure, you know, at, you know, 2-3 reps at 60s or 65s.
Well, so I think everybody, yeah, well, and you could tell me if you disagree with this, I think everybody has like one exercise that lifts weights that they're like unbelievably good at, better than everybody else. Do you have one of those where, yeah, it's like, despite your size, you can do way, what is it, pull-ups?
Pull-ups for sure is my I don't, for whatever reason, I just could do crazy things with pull-ups, like one arm, you know. I've had this little thing I put on the off season. I tried a one rep challenge with a 200-pound dumbbell that I was holding between my feet, like things like that. So yeah, pull-ups is definitely mine. I don't know if you've ever seen a 200-pound dumbbell. They're very rare, but yeah, there's it's intense when you can do stuff with that thing.
I mean, is there even like, this is a question of a guy who couldn't find a gym if you paid him. But, like, is if you had to do pull-ups until you couldn't anymore, would you even know how many you could do?
See, I'm not much of a volume guy, okay, more of a strength. So I don't think – I would probably fatigue pretty quickly. But as far as one rep, which is kind of how I really train for, is, you know, to be as explosive as I possibly can for 6 seconds, can definitely put some weight on. Wow. You know, at another time, I've done one with, like this girl on my back, right, doing pull-ups, like just doing crazy stuff, things like that. So definitely pull-ups is my go-to if I have to show off in a gym.
Love it. Austin, always awesome to talk to you, buddy. Continue getting better, continue getting healthier, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys.
See you, my friend.
Our guy, Austin Eckler. Bye-bye. On Grant and Danny, presented by our friends at IT Cadre. Trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. Our friends at IT Cadre, Your vision, our purpose.
I just need everyone to understand how absurd that is. That's all. I mean, I get it. He's a pro athlete. He's a running back. He's like a muscle. He's like 5'8", one singular muscle. But imagine doing a pull-up like with yourself attached to your feet. Like, that's out. He's basically just a little over 200 pounds. That's like Austin Eckler doing a pull-up attached to Austin Eckler. That's patently absurd.
All right, let's go over to the producer room and figure out who's getting sent home, who's getting immunity on Commander Survivor. All right, who's going to give out immunity? We'll start with that.
All right. To no one's surprise, when you catch two touchdowns and get closer to the franchise record for receiving touchdowns, you get immunity this week. Terry McLaurin, number 17,
little Terry,
gets immunity once again.
Well earned. 11 touchdowns on the year. 4 2 touchdown games for Terry McLaurin. Immunity was very, very easy to see coming.
Yep.
But this is slightly more interesting, I would say.
There's some intrigue here.
That means either Bobby Wagner or Frankie Louvu is being sent home. There will only be 3 left. Jaden Daniels safe. Terry McLaurin safe. Who will be in the final 3?
This was a tight one, but unfortunately, the future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner has been sent home.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was it close or was it pretty
definitive? No, it was really close, like within a few votes.
Wow. All right. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Darius for tallying those up. So that means next week, we will have, with 3 games to go, 3 commanders left standing, Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, and Frankie Louvu, the lone rep for the defense.
And so nobody can be immune, right? Isn't that how we usually do it? Because it means if you're immune, you'd automatically be the champion.
Right, well, as of the final week, for sure. But yeah, right. I think we could do that next week where no immunity. And just back-to-back week, somebody gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Incredible. I think we could do it.
I think this is the right final 3, by the way, for this year.
Probably their 3 best players.
Would you say so?
And Wagner may have been 4th. I mean, you could pick some nits here or there. But, yeah, I think people have voted really well.
I think it was the right call.
Well done, gentlemen. We appreciate that. Let's get you a Caps power play. Last night, the Capitals got an early goal from Dylan Strome, but then lost by multiple goals in regulation. Just the second time that's happened all year. Their streak, double-digit straight wins on the road, ended as well. So they got to get back on the good foot tonight, second of a back-to-back. They are in Chicago, taking on a Blackhawks team that is just 5-8 at home on the season. Caps looking to improve to 13-3 on the road, still skating and playing without Alex Ovechkin, Danny.
Well, your Washington Capitals joined the Grant and Danny radio program as having some plane issues last night. They didn't get a chance to leave Dallas and arrived this afternoon at noon in Chicago for their 7:30 start time. So they're all futzed, all thrown off, already on a second game of back-to-back in a different city. They had terrible travel situation, it sounds like, and couldn't leave last night. So not only were they not in their hotel room getting at least some sleep, they're probably sitting out there on the tarmac trying to figure it out, and I don't know if they had shuttle buses to try to get them to a different airport or what, but they didn't land until noon, so uphill climb tonight for Spencer Carberry and the boys.
That'll do it for a Tuesday on Grant and Danny. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We will have Wizards tickets on Wizards Wednesday at 5 o'clock. We will have Caps tickets, as always, ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock, and we will be sending you around the NFC East for the latest on all 3 teams in the division as we blitz the East. Should be a very, very good show. Much needed sleep. Let's get it, boys.
Let's all get some sleep.
Let's get home. Let's get rested. Darius, let's try to get that nose figured out. Clary, you're a handsome gentleman.
As you were, yeah.
Yeah, you just do you.
Keep doing it, buddy.
And me and you will sleep.
Yep. I got to play some hoops tonight, man. I made a commitment.
That is a thing.
I can't believe I'm doing that.
You are doing.
Here we go.
Thanks for listening. We are back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow on The Fan.
Thank you for coming.